Welcome to the latest United We Stand podcast. I'm Andy Mitten and I've just taken a Metrolink from Manchester City Centre to Old Trafford, and I'm walking past a cricket ground to the Europa League game between Manchester United and Rangers. There are a lot of Rangers fans around, as you would expect. They're being very vocal. One or two of them may have even had a beer. And it's pretty damp. It's a bit sort of rainy, hoping that the rain stays off, because we have United We Stand outside the ground this evening. Just met a couple of interesting lads from Belfast, and we're talking to them about how when times were very different over there during the Troubles, and they would come to watch United and get to meet people from the other side of the community and become good friends with them, and then go back to Belfast and live on the separate side of the wall or in their communities and never really interact with each other. But because of Manchester United, became firm friends. And I quite like that, how football can be a force for good in many ways, which we know it is. And it can be a force for bad when you're watching Manchester United right now, because this season has been pretty bobbins. Walking past an advert for the cricket that's going on this summer. England are playing at Old Trafford. That seems a long, long way now from now on a dark January night. And I'm walking past the University Academy 92, which, as the name suggests, it's got interest from former Manchester United players. Lots of students there. And there's buildings going up everywhere, right across this part of Manchester. The skyline is changing. And it's probably going to be high rises from this, where Manchester United's ground is, right the way out to the city centre. And the redevelopment or rebuilding of Old Trafford, a new stadium, will play a part in that as well. And it was in the news a few days ago, but we don't know what the outcome's going to be. We know that Sir Jim Ratcliffe will probably favour a new stadium. There's been some consultation as well, but the big question is how it's going to be paid for. And that is still not answered. We've covered that a lot in United We Stand, etc. I got up really early this morning, 3:15 in UK time, and I've been in planes, trains and automobiles. Went to Birmingham, trained to Wolves, interviewed a Wolverhampton Wanderers player, and then I've bumped into Sam Johnson, the Wolves player, the goalkeeper. I've known Sam for a long time. He's a lovely lad. First met him when he was a young Manchester United. He's played for England, and he offered me a lift back to Manchester, which I appreciated. My fourth mode of transport for the day, fifth actually, because I've just got a tram, haven't I? And well, Rangers, I've been studying them, and Hamza is the best player, the Moroccan forward, 22 years old. He's been decent for them. Rangers have been good in the Europa League, not just this season, but in recent seasons. They reached a final against Eintracht Frankfurt 2022 in Seville, and punching well above the weight, given they're playing such a small domestic league. But they're obviously a huge club, and they've been relatively poor in the Scottish Premier League. They're 13 points behind Celtic, so that has led to protest. But in Europe, they've been better, and we all know how hit and miss Manchester United have been. Ruben Amorim backtracked a little bit on his comments about Manchester United maybe being the worst team in the club's history as I walked across over Chester Road. A big group of Rangers fans had peeled left to use a wall as a toilet and not yet seen the teams. Good idea, we'll be playing. I'd never leak that. I think if you support a team, you don't leak the team, because it gets into opposition hands, then it's advantageous to them. And I've long had that attitude. The team's not that hard to get hold of. If you do what I do, there's plenty of people who, well, you can just get hold of it. So there's match scarves now, half an hour scarves. You can hear them talking for that. So this podcast is going to be a little bit about Rangers, and then I'm on the road for 9 days, I think, in total. Going to London for the Fulham game. I'll be interviewing different people for and not for this podcast, and a few interesting people lined up. And these are very, very interesting times for Manchester United. The league position is really bad. And I'm worried. If I'm honest, I'm worried. I'm worried about the team's ability to get results. Against Fulham, for example. Even against Crystal Palace, who Sam Johnson just used to play for until he moved to Wolves quite recently, which meant he could move back and live in Manchester. So let's see what we go. Let's see what characters turn up along the way. And yeah. I sound hesitant because I haven't got a clue what is going to happen. There's so much going on at Manchester United. There's literally news stories every single day, and they're just the ones that get out there. There's lots that don't. Plenty of negative ones because the club is undergoing such a transition and costs are being cut because the club loses money. It's really awkward at times. Anyway, you can hear the generators powering the souvenir stalls, the engines of the police vans, past the burger and fry store, walking past the Trafford pub now, George Best over to the right, and crossing over Chester Road now, you can smell the onions off the hot dogs. It's a cold night. The traffic has been stopped. It's flashing lights everywhere. I'm looking forward to this. I respect Rangers for their size, same with Celtic. It's been a challenge selling fanzines against either of them in years gone by, just due to the numbers and the variance of it all. But I've got some good friends who support Celtic and Rangers, both of them. Well, let's see how we go, shall we?
So it's about to kick off. The Stretford End have just unfurled a big flag saying the King for Dennis Law. There's a big Rangers following to my right. Bring it on. There's 38 minutes gone. There are Rangers fans in the United section. Big block just to the side of the official allocation. The Rangers fans have just been singing who the fuck are Man United. They've had three shots on target to United's two shots on target after 38 minutes. Sure what Rangers fans are singing, but it's loud. I just don't know what it is. I'm trying to work it out. I'll get the answer. I'm going to ask a Glaswegian. I think they might have been taking the mick because the United fans are quite quiet, and the Stretford End did respond a little bit as a corner went in and Bayendir pushed it over. You can hear how loud the Rangers are. Manchester United 2, Rangers 1. And the 4,000 Rangers fans, plus a lot in home sections, are singing "Nice one, Cyril. Nice one, son." That's because Cyril Dessers scored a very, very good goal, which looked once again like Manchester United would not be winning a football match. There only had been one win in eight. But Bruno Fernandes got a late winner, and a great late winner actually. It was a lovely ball in from Lisandro Martinez behind the Rangers defence, and Bruno didn't even break his stride, and he put it through the legs of Jack Butland, who'd scored the opening goal, an own goal, punching the ball into his goal. So that winner brought Old Trafford to life. Before that, the loudest chant had been one for Garnacho, obviously been linked with a move away. And Old Trafford was really lively then, but I'm looking now, there's a couple of Irish tricolours about just to wind the Rangers fans up. They were pretty loud for pretty much all of the game, and the win means Manchester United move right up now into a very comfortable position, fourth, so they dropped down to like 11th when Rangers equalised. So 4 out of 36 is not too bad at all. no defeats in 7 matches, so that really helps. It doesn't confirm that United have qualified, because the teams below them, and one of them's FCSB, who United play next week in Bucharest. The Rangers fans have stayed behind in Arnhem. But yeah, performing Europe has definitely been better than performing the league.
The day after the game, and I've just met Mark Dingwall. Mark edits the Rangers fanzine Follow. I've known Mark since 1990. What did you make of the game last night and the experience of Old Trafford? I know you've been before.
I have to say, I think a few Man United fans have got first world problems, in that they support one of the world's greatest clubs, and the difficulties that you're in just now, these happen to all clubs. I think the turnover rate of managers doesn't help you, but I do understand the pressure that you're under. Old Trafford, I like Old Trafford. In fact, I used to like it more when it was even more higgledy-piggledy looking. But I can see that, for a club of your stature, not having jumbotrons, etc., is a little bit of a throwback. I sympathise with United fans the way that they're getting treated by the board. You can't use your season tickets the way you want to use them. They'll take it off you.
And how's that at Rangers? Because there's a similar demand for tickets, isn't there? You're selling out every week. Are there similar restrictions? Is it changing or not really?
United fans might not like to hear this, but we're still suffering from the Steven Gerrard effect. Mm. When Gerrard came, they effectively turned the last empty stand into fully season ticketed. And the demand for tickets, season tickets, hospitality has remained the same since then. There's no getting away from it that Gerrard took us to a different level. He did it as an evolution rather than a revolution, made us slightly stronger every transfer window. And the club have now brought in ticket stub, and they start to ask you questions if you haven't been to three home games in a row, which gets a lot of kickback, because effectively people, well, it's not that they believe that season tickets are their own. Season tickets are your own. They're your property, and people don't like being mucked around. Football fans are creatures of habit. You go to part of the ground, you went to your pals or maybe your mum and dad when you were younger. So it's all part of that. But I think that both United and Rangers, we've got to remember where we came from. And you can't go back to, see this kind of phrase, against modern football. I sympathise with it, but the reality is neither club has been against modern football. Both clubs, going back to 1930s Rangers with Bill Struth, who was an amateur runner, and in fact a professional runner, became the club manager, adopted very scientific approach to training. And likewise, Matt Busby and all these guys, they all brought in a very scientific approach to training. In their days, they were always on the cutting edge, so I don't think any club can afford to live totally in its past.
How is Gerrard regarded still?
Very, very, very sympathetically, I mean, to be honest, I was very surprised that he took the Aston Villa job, because I think Villa has proven to be a manager's graveyard, and I think he might have done a wee bit better to cut his teeth at a lower division. But he's certainly, I think he, when he came to the club, there was 10,000 outside the ground to welcome him. And that never really went away. And I think he got away a lot with, because of, what he'd done on the field. And I must say, I was in quite a number of interviews, press conferences with him. There's no doubt he's a thinker, very skilled. Can see a bent question coming 100 miles away, very, very self-contained, self-controlled guy.
A pal of mine has just been working with him as one of his assistants in Saudi. He's just left the job, actually. But I remember spending a day with Gerrard, going back 15, 16 years, and when he found out I'd been to his estate in Liverpool to watch my dad play, the dynamics between us changed. Uh-huh. From him thinking all journalists are posh wankers to you've been to my estate. And I got on well with him. He was obviously a great player at the time. I realise these sentiments won't be met with nodding approval by most people listening to this. What did you make of your performance last night?
There's a phenomenon around Rangers in the last couple of years called Rangers Thursdays. Since Gerard came, I've got to mention Stephen once again, Rangers' improvement in Europe has been pretty exceptional, usually at the Europa League level, I have to say. And it's not just the number of teams we're playing, but it's the quality that we've played over the last 4 or 5 years. There's now an expectation amongst Rangers fans to have a good run in Europe and good performances. And even if we're, you know, down in the dumps in the league, then even this year, you know, we're still getting decent results. I thought it was good last night. I thought that Rangers creaked quite a bit under United's pressure. You know, I don't think that, you know, 2 or 3-0 would have flattered you. But, you know, what we all love from football is the unexpected. You know, so you've got the crazy first goal, you've got United's chopped off goal, you've got Cyril Dessers coming in last minute for what we thought was the great equaliser. And, you know, that would have been a fantastic end to the
nice
night.
Nice one, Cyril, you sing, don't you?
Yes, indeed. Even though he's got a crazy Dutch spelling to his name, which is like Cyril. And then at the end of the day, you know, great player like Fernandez does what he does, you know, puts it through the keeper's leg. So
for you, it's about staying in the competition, even if it's via a playoff?
To be honest, when you, it was fairly easy to predict that group, sorry, the group that we're in. We wrote off the points against United and Spurs. We got a draw against Spurs. But I think everybody wrote off those two games because of the level. And we were always expecting the crucial one to be against Union St Gallois, who we play at home next Thursday. And that's turned out how it is. That makes a difference between us going through in the top half of the qualifiers or the bottom half.
Cha-ching, it's the sound of another sale on Spotify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run and grow your business. Shopify is a commerce platform revolutionising millions of businesses worldwide. Whether you're selling football programmes or, I don't know, pairs of trainers, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person so that you can successfully grow your business. There's a huge number of categories to consider. Covering all your sales channels, from a shopfront-ready POS system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Full of industry-leading tools, ready to ignite your growth, Shopify gives you complete control over your business and your brand without learning new skills in design or coding. And thanks to award-winning help and with extensive business course library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. It's time to get serious about selling and get Shopify today. This is a possibility powered by Shopify. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/United, all in lowercase. Go to shopify.co.uk/United to take your business to the next level today. shopify.co.uk/United. And one thing about Shopify is that no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify will be there to empower you with the confidence and control to take your business to the next level. I've just got to Craven Cottage. It came from Tottenham, where I went to watch Ruud van Nistelrooy's Leicester City defeat Tottenham, which I'm surprised about. It's a poor game. They scored 2 goals at the start of the second half. Tactically, Ruud got it quite right. And I got right from Tottenham's ground to Craven Cottage in an hour. And I'm envious sometimes of how good the public transport can be in London compared to Manchester. And they build the Elizabethan line with all these fancy £1 billion stations. And, you know, compare that to some of the infrastructure we've got in the north of England. Anyway, that's for another chat and probably even another podcast. It's raining, one of the most atmospheric football grounds. Beautiful old ground at Craven Cottage, and don't they charge you for that, although they can't charge the away fans. Bumped into a couple of lads whose voices will be familiar on this podcast. You come down from Manchester?
Yeah, 11:30 set off with the late kickoff, which wasn't too bad. Seamless journey down. One service stop, was it? And yeah, otherwise down in no time, so early enough to, like you say, I love this ground. Getting here for a couple of pints and yeah, it's been great. Without doubt, the best London away that there is.
7 o'clock at night is an inconvenience, or do you prefer it?
No, I mean, we're gonna, so I've had to change work all around tomorrow, so Saturday night would be brilliant, but 3 o'clock tomorrow morning, just like for probably a lot of the lads on the coach, we'll get back to Manchester, or we'll jump out of Manchester
about
airport 3 o'clock, I reckon. It more or less takes another day away. 4 o'clock in the afternoon for a London away would be fine.
When you work at 7 o'clock in the morning, 7 at night in Fulham away is a bit hard work. But
so you're going to get it back tonight at just after clock, aren't you?
I reckon three back in town, probably. So
how are you feeling about the game? Because our record here is really strong, but we're not even favourites today.
You said that before, aren't they? There and deservedly so. I mean, I think that middle bit of the Premier League, like of Bournemouth, Brighton, Fulham, it's got a lot stronger, and we're getting left behind. Not only out of the Champions League like stages, we're not even close to being there at the moment, but behind the likes of these. So I'd say they deserve to be favourites. And a strange thing that Jim Radcliffe thinks we should pay more to come here than...
I had a chat with him about that. You might have seen it.
Just a bit, yeah. And it was, and you were absolutely right. Like, you know, and forget everything else. Like, living in London's a lot different from living in Manchester.
Well, these houses in front of us would be about £2 million each.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And now you can get, like, we're from North Manchester and there's houses around us for sale at 250,000, and you know, but wages in Manchester are not even close to being.
But there are estates over there in Hammersmith,
absolutely.
Where and that's the
working
thing,
class, Fulham fans.
I've seen an article actually that Fulham, because this hasn't sold out, had it, and I Fulham are all Fulham are having terrible times with their owners, aren't they? And they took the loyalty pots from Chelsea away, sold the new season ticket holders in there. Is it the Riverside stand?
Yeah, the one opposite.
The Latin scene. It's funny, isn't it? Because you think you kind of football fans all have the same. And seeing a Fulham fan saying that when they went to Leicester the other week, it was far better than Chelsea away, because they were actually proper local Fulham fans in the end, rather than corporate. And it, so everyone just has the same on a different scale. But it's a funny one today, because you just feel genuinely like underdogs. Like, I don't see how we're going to...
Well, they're good.
We are better
away.
Very good
manager. Yeah. And we're not.
I'm more confident than I would be if we had them at home tonight. I really am. For whatever reason at Old Trafford.
Maybe not being favourites helps us. It's a Manchester United team now. Let me just take a picture of it. So the United team's just come in past us. Two team buses. And players are going inside the ground. It's an hour and a half, so 9 minutes before kick-off. A couple of things before I let you go, and I appreciate you standing here in the rain. Rangers the other night, what was your take on it?
Well, we're in that new bit just to the right of TRA over the tunnel, and it was certainly interesting, probably the less said the better maybe, but it's interesting what happened when Rangers scored and a few of them went up. And it will be interesting if we get them in the next round as well, which people have said we can. But on the pitch, there's one man who gets criticism that I just don't get, and Bruno, without him in the last 5 years, I think we'd be fucked without him in the last year. I think he's brilliant. He plays every game. I think his mistakes are noticed more because he plays every game, so you put yourself up there. But yeah, faultless effort as usual from him, rescued us as he often does, and a lot of it before. We should have scored a few more goals, in fairness. They're not a good Rangers team. We should be better, but we're just not good at Old Trafford.
The club let themselves down badly the other night, and it wasn't just they're clearly doing something badly wrong for that amount to end up in Rangers' hand. B, the response to it was just, I mean, obviously there's a lot of trouble near our bit, and it wasn't just then when Rangers went up and celebrated. There was no steward reaction to it, which is why fans got involved, and then there's the trouble. And I was chatting to a steward after, a really nice guy, and he said he totally understood and didn't blame United fans' reaction at all. And he said, we've been hung out to dry by United. He said, there's loads in, no police in the ground, under-stewarded. And he was dead nice guy, and he said, we've just been left to it by United, and he was really disappointed. And I think, you know, obviously there was the Galatasaray thing, and the club just, they need to get the priorities right at the minute.
So
We will try and investigate what's going on for United West Ham. We did it after the Galatasaray game a couple of years ago. It took us 2 to 3 weeks. A problem we have is that people demand instant answers and we can't just give them. There's like 6 different parts to this. So we'll try and speak to people from Rangers, from the ticketing, from Manchester United, and as many people as we can speak to. And some people will not want to speak to us either. But we will try and do it properly. Another problem we have is then by the time you find out what you've done, they don't care because it happened 2 weeks ago. But that shouldn't stop us doing stuff. And I think it's dangerous if the world just sinks into social media knee-jerk reactions, which aren't often based in fact either. But we were all in the stadium and we all know what we saw. Just had a phone call from Glasgow there, maybe to help me with part of this. And he's absolutely buzzing because we took over Old Trafford. That's his view. And I'm sure Man United fans will be if we'd done it the other way around. But then I've had family people say my child was frightened because Rangers fans near them. And sometimes even in the seats that they bought, they couldn't access the seats. There seemed to be miscommunication between the police and the stewards. I saw United we stand outside the ground. I've got to say, you know that Rangers are going to be beery. And yeah. Probably the most challenging time at Elephantine would be against Celtic in a testimonial when there's tens of 15,000 the alcohol has clearly been taken and some of them are really over friendly and some of them are just pain in the arse. We had a bit of that the other night and one guy came past, swigged the last of his Buckfast, put it on the floor, and it was a bottle of Buckfast and bought 3 fanzines and he was steaming. Yeah. But there were others who came past who were perfectly friendly,
thing, It's funny, isn't it, with Celtic? Like, I remember last time we went to Celtic Park, we were in a pub right outside the ground. Brian McClare was in at the time, wasn't he? You know? And then these lads asked us at the bar, said, "Oh, where are you from?" We're honest, said, "Yeah, from Manchester." And he's like, "Oh, we'll buy you a pint." And then half an hour later, someone asked the same question, sung an IRA song in her face. So you just don't know what you get, whereas Rangers, you just think, you know what you're going to get.
Yeah, it would be more hostile than Celtic. Yeah.
I think so. Mate. Most Celtic fans were great. Brian McClare drought drunk as well.
I can believe that, having spent time with him.
He's a great man, though.
He's an absolutely fantastic human. And he keeps sending me pictures of Greg's every day.
Every day?
Brian... yes, he does. Do you want me to tell you the story?
Go on, yeah.
So I did a little tour with him in September.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And we're all going around Ireland. Yeah. And we get to West Belfast. And I'm trying to show my family the significance of the Falls Road and the Shankill Road. And I've got Brian in the car with my wife and daughters. And I'm explaining who Bobby Sands is. And after that bit, we go into more loyalist areas. And I want my children to understand, and my eldest daughter just saw ahead. "Dad, they've got a Greggs here." Just didn't care. I was trying to be serious and educational. And he found it hilarious that all they were bothered about was the fact that they've got a Greggs. And then he now sends me pictures of Greggs.
Every day.
I mean, not every single day, but I can just see him laughing to himself. He'll be in outside like a Greggs in Edinburgh or Glasgow or Wilmslow. And it keeps him, And they've got this relationship with him. I would never tell him, but I loved him as a kid.
Oh, same here.
Top fella. But you can't tell him because you look like a knob, can't you?
One of my first favourite memories, it was a McClare goal. And it was almost like a side scissor kick. About 87 against Chelsea.
Yeah, 2-2.
Yes,
right at the start of the season.
It was.
Remember it?
It was incredible. We were right behind that goal where he scored.
They brought a load, Chelsea.
They did, and they had them in the pens. Yeah. And it was the entire game. United fan jumps over, runs across, trying to get into Chelsea. Yeah. They say it was brutal, actually, because me and Dad were on like the front row before the thing.
Yeah.
Young kid and like.
I remember being scared that day because
it was,
Chelsea sang, "You're going to get your fucking head kicked in."
Yeah.
And I was in the Stretford end, and I didn't want to get my head kicked in because I was only a kid. And I took that as a direct threat and was frightened.
Well, we were only
about
10
feet. But McClare just calmed us a little bit with his goals.
That goal was incredible.
I'm younger than you two, but I grew up on reading Chucky's diary every month. Do you remember?
Yeah, well, he did one for United West Ham this year. He just, after the little tour, he wrote one and he spent the week observing me and then just lacerated me in this Chucky's diary. Which is piss easy to do. So,
but it's the first you got it. Like, I remember growing up, now you've got obviously Twitter and all the things where you get. There was no access, and then there was Chucky's diary where he said what happened in the training and all that. Well, he was
brilliant. He's a witty, intelligent man.
Yeah, yeah, he is.
Who, on many levels, was far more intelligent than Ferguson, for example.
Yeah.
So that would piss Ferguson off. Now, Ferguson was obviously a far better football manager, but McClaire would pick him up on little things, and it just...
He fell in love with Manchester music as well, didn't he? New Order and all that. I've seen him talk about New Order.
He's a culturally away man.
Sorry.
Nice one. He's a very culturally aware man.
Yeah.
Anyway, score prediction for today, or are we not doing them because they're just horrendous?
3-1 win because we're away.
Yeah, well, I can never not predict us to get beat, so I'll say 2-1 United.
All right, I'll agree with that. Nice one, boys.
5-0.
Sorry. Away fans, you can hear, are the Manchester United fans, because United have got ahead of Fulham with the first shot on target of the entire game. Absolute screamer from Lisandro Martinez, which took a heavy touch and went in over Lino, who's had nothing to do all afternoon, right in front of the United fans, almost 3,000 of them. And Manchester United are in a very good position here with 10 minutes to play. Bit of a surprise this, but Martinez... obviously buzzing. Bruno made a lovely pass in the build-up to the goal as well.
Tell us about your goal.
Huh?
Your goal.
An amazing goal. Great, great, great finish. No. Well, I was lucky, but 3 points. That's it. Really important.
You did a bit more attacking these days. It seems that sort of position on the left of three, you're getting forward a bit more. You scored at Anfield, and then you scored the other week. Is that something that you're trying to add to your game in this system to become that goal threat and open play?
Yeah, I think you just have to read the situation, the right timing, and when you are with confidence, the goal go in. So I went with 100% of my confidence, and the ball doesn't matter, and go in. That's it.
There's a lot being said about kind of the lack of goals from Rasmus and Joshua and the struggles they're having. Is it a case that you guys, especially in this system, at the back in midfield, you guys need to contribute more and maybe take the pressure off them, or do they need to kind of step it up as well?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We take the responsibility, and I think we played many long balls to them. For sure, for them, it's really tough, especially because they fight against two centre backs, and the centre backs here in the Premier League is really difficult to win something, right? But they have to do better as well. Yeah? They are really good players. But I agree with you. I think we have to contribute more, and we have to put them in better space or place on the pitch. We have to find them in the right places and dangerous places to make them score, right?
Your manager, he's 40th birthday tomorrow. Is it nice to get put him in a good mood?
Who?
Your manager, Ruben. Ah,
yeah.
He's 40 tomorrow.
He's 40. How do you say the channel? The channel in the pitch? How do you say? Como dices? The tunnel, no.
Si.
Como dices?
The tunnel.
Tunnel tomorrow. Yeah.
Tunnel
tomorrow for him.
How important would it be to get a third win in a row, get a run together, get a third win in Romania, and maybe get a run, maybe get a fourth win after that? Just to get a nice run going.
Now we have to be humble. We have to keep this momentum. For sure, it's an amazing feeling when you win. But we have to be humble. That's it. We win today, we celebrate today, and tomorrow we think in the next game.
But that is two straight wins. You said confidence. Mm-hmm. How confident is that dressing room at the moment, or is it low?
We are okay.
Yeah.
We are okay. I'm not gonna talk about big confidence, that kind of things. I don't want to make something wrong, but we are happy, and for sure when you win, the confidence grow up, for sure, and it's good for us to get the 3 points.
How important was it to win, particularly in the Premier League today, because of course some of Man United's best football hasn't been in necessarily
really important because we didn't get the best result in the Premier League, and this had to be every weekend for us. We have to win every game.
Okay, thank you guys.
Thank you. So that was it. A win. What a buzz. What a surprise. A clean sheet. Another Martinez goal. And so many talking points about this from the struggles of some of the forward players. Rasmus Højlund had a very difficult game. And Manchester United fans were very vocal. Really, really good away end. They made the feelings
clear on to Jim Ratcliffe. And that's because, primarily, I think, the £66 ticket thing. It's a very emotive subject. It's one that we've covered many, many times. Equally, with Ineos and Manchester United, it's very, very complicated. You know, they've put money in. They're not taking money out like the Glazers. They've inherited a mess, which is why the Glazers went to market in the first place, because their club was losing 80, 90 million a year, and that was unsustainable. So they've done this weird deal, and I think Jim Ratcliffe's intentions are certainly to make Manchester United better again, but there's a lot of pain that's coming with this, with job losses, with very unpopular decisions. He's put money in a couple of different tranches. We're seeing development at Carrington. They're trying to do it their way. But there's a lack of trust at the moment, I think, between fans and the club. And, you know, that came out. The league position doesn't help. I think Ineos have got some things wrong. The Dan Ashworth saga looks exactly like that. But I think they're also trying to do some things right as well. The bottom line is United could not carry on losing that much money, and the Glazers, they were taking the piss. They're taking out dividends, the huge interest payments, which were still there. And this is far from ideal. The takeover that wasn't is far from ideal, but anyone could have entered to try and get involved in Manchester United, and maybe because people didn't think it was that attractive, they didn't. So we were left with two. Qatar, who wouldn't show proof of funds, and Jim Ratcliffe. And I just fear it's going to be a very, very bumpy road. It has been already. I think this will continue. I think Manchester United's financial situation is bleak, and I worry about ticket prices. I made my feelings very clear on this to Jim Ratcliffe, and I worry about the team. But it was nice to get a win. I'm going to go to Bucharest. I'm going to go via Germany. I'm going to go and see Shakhtar Donetsk play at Borussia Dortmund, spend some time with the Ukrainian team, and then get on to Bucharest. But I also spoke to Florin Gardos, who's a Romanian footballer, and, well, very good Romanian footballer. He's retired a couple of years ago, but he played 13 times for his country. He also played for Southampton, actually. And I just asked him briefly about the game this weekend. Well, if you're counting Thursday as the weekend, we might as well start it, haven't we? Used to mock the Scousers singing Thursday night, but we can have a bit of a crack travelling around Europe, and there are worse cities to go than Bucharest. So here's Florin.
It's a huge event. I mean, there's a huge demand for tickets. They've been sold out for a very long time now. I have a lot of the friends that are calling me and say, please try and find tickets. I said, it's impossible. Like, it's a huge brand in the world of football, Manchester United. And in the past, I think almost 10 years now, we didn't really have a lot of big clubs coming. We had Manchester City, I think it was 2016 or 18, and we didn't have much European football. So yeah, it's a big, big event.
Are fans confident that FCSB can beat Manchester United?
Sorry?
Are the fans confident that they can beat Manchester United?
I don't know, to be honest. I don't know, but it's really strange. I follow the Premier League, and it's so, for me at least, it's difficult to bring United from the Premier League context to, you know, a night in Bucharest in Europa League, because they are so, I don't know, some games they play really well, like they did in Liverpool, and then they lose it with Brighton at home. So I really don't know what's going to happen. I think it just depends on how concentrated will they be and how involved will they be in this game.
And finally, how good are FCSB? Because they're the biggest team in Romania. The average crowds are 15,000. There's going to be 50,000 there on Thursday. Who are the best players? Yeah. Who should we be looking out for?
So there is the best player is out, unfortunately, Olaro. He had some problem with his shoulder, so he needs to have an operation. There's a striker that came in the summer, and he had a pretty good season. He scored in Europa League as well. His name is Berlija, number 9. And the goalkeeper also, he's one of the players who I think has the potential to get a transfer in somewhere in a good league, because he's still pretty young. I think he's 23. So he's been good also.
And is Romanian football strong at the moment? Is the Premier League popular in Romania? Do you look back at golden ages of Romanian football, especially 1986 when Steaua Bucharest won the European Cup?
Well, yeah, the Premier League is pretty popular. I think after the Romanian League is the most watched league. I think people don't look so much in before the 90s, because it was a long time ago. But still, for example, me with my generation, we played Champions League groups, which was a big thing. And when I meet people and fans, they say, "Oh, when we're going to have another club in the group, in the Champions League group?" So it got better in the last couple of years, because we have a lot of new stadiums. People are getting involved, like people with money are getting involved in clubs. So it's slightly getting better, but I think we still have a long way to go.
Thank you for your time.